All right, John 20, if y'all want to get there, we'll get there in just a second. And it's going to be good today. Good job, guys. I love that song. Welcome aboard, Lance. Don't want to embarrass you. I wish I could just, yeah. They embarrassed you, I didn't. So I wish I could just beat on a box and it'd be counted as a spiritual gift. I'm just kidding, Lance. I love you. Everybody's got to know Lance and I go way back. When I started here, let's see, he's 18, so he was about 8. And I remember, Tracy remember this, like every day in the summer, he'd come up here and play dad one-on-one. Dad's out there dunking on him like a 9-year-old, blocking his shot. He can't beat me yet. And I'm like, well, he's 9. He shouldn't be able to beat you. He's running his mouth. I'm like, he's 9. That's what 9-year-olds do. Dad's like backing him down and dunking all over him. It was good. I still remember that. Lance should still be like this tall to me. But seriously, I really didn't mean to embarrass you. But I am grateful. I know David is that you're aboard now. We have a college or a high school young man up there running sound. I love to see young people serving. We're working through this. This is the last day on disciples. We've been looking at that. We started way back on what is a disciple. And now we've been looking in the summer months on disciples, examples, and then we're going to get into discipleship starting next month, which is what we've been building up to the entire year. And I read something a couple of years ago, and it makes sense. It hit me pretty hard then. And the statement was, when you doubt, you don't. And I was reading it about someone struggling with salvation, but it applies to so many things. It applies in life, if you think about it. When you doubt if you will like something or not, we were talking about eating sushi in Sunday school. I'm not a sushi, especially a raw sushi person. When you doubt you'll like that, you won't try it. I mean, that's just the way it works. Like, nah, I'm good on that. When you doubt if you will like a certain vacation destination, more than likely you won't try it or won't go. But it works in our spiritual lives as well. When we doubt our salvation, we don't share the gospel. We just don't, because we're on life support ourselves. When we doubt that God can take care of us financially by us giving 10, 15, 20% of our income to the local church, then we don't give 10, 20% of our income, because we just don't, we have doubts that God can take care of us. When we doubt that God can physically protect us in a foreign country, we don't go, because we just have doubts about that. And it works with all of this stuff. When we doubt, we don't. Now, there's, you know where I'm going with this. There's a disciple by the name of Thomas. Now, Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap in the sense that earlier in the book of John, he was ready to go fight to the death. And he's like, let's go. Let's get our swords. Let's go. We're going to go down with Jesus. And now he also gets a bad rap in this sense. We all have doubts as humans. And you may say, well, I don't ever doubt. And I've heard Ron Dunn say it, one of my favorite preachers who's passed away, that every Christian that's telling the truth has doubted their salvation. If you don't doubt your salvation ever over 40, 50, 60 years, then you probably aren't a Christian, to be honest. Because Satan's going to attack you, and he's going to make you have doubts at times. Now, we shouldn't live with constant doubts, but we all have doubts. So to single out Thomas is a little bit hard on him, but the reason he's in the Bible is for us to learn from it. Now, since we all have doubts, we have to look at this and say, what can we do? And we know that doubting is not pleasing to God, because it's a lack of faith is what it is. Basically, when we doubt, we're calling God a liar, right? And you say, well, no, I don't go that far. That's what we're doing. Because when we doubt, it can turn into worry, but it doesn't always. But when we doubt something, that means we don't think it's going to live up to it. When we doubt we will like something, we don't think we're going to try it. When we doubt that God can take care of us if we give 10% of our money to the church, we're saying, God, we don't believe you. Even though God says, test me in this. Give me your 10%, and I promise you I'll take care of you. We're doubting him, so we're making him out to be a liar. We don't want to make it that blatant, but that's what we're doing. When we doubt that God can take care of us physically, no matter where we're at, we're making him out to be a liar. And so we don't want to do that. And as we look at Thomas, we want to look at this. what causes this? So the backdrop is this. Jesus has already went to the cross at this point. He has risen from the grave. He's appeared to, in the book of John, he appears to Mary Magdalene and Mary with Peter and John, and they're there. So I want to pick it up in chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, now they were not completely there yet with their faith, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That's another sermon. We're not going to get into that. Verse 24 says, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Thomas actually goes a little bit further than doubt. He goes into obstinance here. It's not that, did you really see Jesus? He's like, well, unless I do it, see it myself, I don't believe it. So there's a little bit of obstinance with his lack of faith. He says in verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And this is the kind of the apex of this, what I want us to look at. Look at what Jesus tells him. Stop doubting and believe. Now, many of us could need to hear those same words today. Stop doubting. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stop doubting and believe. If God said he's going to take care of the situation, then stop doubting and believe him, whatever it may be. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God, which is a great declaration of faith. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So what brought this about? Let's look at a few things real quickly that got Thomas to this point. First of all, Thomas listened to the wrong people. If you go back, guys, put that scripture up for me, if you will, in Matthew 26, whatever I told you. Jesus had already told them what was going to happen. Then Jesus said to them, this very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. He's already told them what's going to happen. Now, by the way, you have to go back even further. Don't panic. I didn't want y'all putting this up. If you go to Matthew 16, Matthew 17, and then Matthew 20, Jesus gives them three warnings of his death. He's like, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. This is going to happen, guys. Are you listening? I'm going to go and I'm going to happen. And here in 26, he says, not only will I die, not only will I rise, the sheep's going to be scattered, but once I've risen, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. It couldn't have been any more plain. You would think Thomas would have said, oh, that's right. Jesus told us all this was going to happen. But he wasn't paying attention. Now, before we get on the disciples, before we start casting stones, as they say, we've got to understand we're guilty of the same thing. You say, well, how do you know that? Because it's pretty simple. In a church this size, and I know everybody doesn't do it, sign up for everything, but in a church this size, we have about 25 to 30 people that are reading through the Bible this year. It ought to be 100%. Because how do I know you're not listening to Jesus? This is the way Jesus talks to us. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not listening to Jesus. You just can't. You say, oh, well, I come listen to you. Okay, that means you're listening to the Word preached one day a week. And by the way, I'm still not Jesus. You need to let this speak to you. Oh, well, I listen to so-and-so. I do this. That's not reading the Word of God. This is when we hear from Jesus. You say, oh, but I'm going through so-and-so. That's okay. Everything that you could ever go through is addressed in here. Now, that doesn't mean you Google search, hey, made a bad financial decision, did this and did that. Let me see. Oh, yeah, John checked. No, it's not how it works. But you read this enough, and God will speak to you through it every day. But the problem is we're not listening to that. My children come home all the time. Hey, Dad, is this right? I'm like, no, not even close. They're like, really? Well, so-and-so said it. I'm like, well, it's not right. Well, he said it. I'm like, okay, let's go back. And Lori says, I get too mean. I'm like, how old is this person? They're 11. I was like, 99% of 11-year-olds are idiots. Okay, I said, I'm just telling you that. I'm 43. I'm not that smart, but I'm smarter than an 11-year-old. Yeah, but they make an A. I was like, I don't care what they make. They have no life experience. They've never paid any bills. They've never done any of this. Trust me, I know more than every 11-year-old in Danville Middle School. I'm just telling you that right now. And Lori's like, you're kind of harsh. I'm like, well, I had to get the point across. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to the 43-year-old who's failed a lot of times, okay? That's how we learn. Are you going to listen to an 11-year-old who's playing Fortnite 17 hours a day? They don't have a lot of real-world experience, okay? I tell them, I was like, who are you going to listen to? Okay, you're right. I'm like, okay, thank you. Then it'll be the next day. Well, so-and-so said, I'm like, I told you yesterday, so-and-so is an idiot, okay? Don't listen to them. Who are you going to listen to? Yesterday, I put some pictures up. We went over to Kenlock Falls to Johnny's old stomping ground, and there's this place there. It's weird. It's like the falls are coming down, and there's this little hole. It's like a black hole. It's like 9 foot deep, though. And so I'm like, hey, Josie, jump in that. And she's like, what? And Josie's the daredevil. She'll do anything. And Ty's like, I don't know. And Lori's like, no. I'm like, Josie, look at me. Look at me now. Trust me. Do you trust Daddy? I think. I was like, Josie, do you trust me? She's like, yeah. I was like, jump in that hole. She goes, I'll be okay. I was like, I promise you. I was like, I'll be in right behind you if you don't come up. So Lori's like up on the rock, like the lioness watching her. And she jumps in, and Lori's like rubbernecking as a mom. And I'm like, she's up within 2 seconds. Her eyes come up. That was fun. I was like, I told you who you listen to. You got to trust me. I wouldn't tell you to jump in a hole if I thought there was just one chance you wouldn't come back out. Now, here's what I want us to get today. What are we listening to? If we listen to the world, we're going to have doubts. If we listen to what the world tells us, we're going to doubt a lot of things. We're going to doubt that God can take care of us financially. We're going to doubt that God can save our marriage. We're going to doubt a lot. We're going to doubt our salvation. There are a lot of things we're going to doubt if we listen to the wrong people. If you're not in this daily, you're listening to the wrong people. I'm just telling you, if you're not listening to Jesus speak to you daily, you are listening to the wrong people. And here's the problem. Here's what we do. The world goes on feelings. If you do any social media at all, you understand this. Especially Twitter. Twitter is the worst. It's the angriest people in the world. And sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's really heartbreaking to see how angry people are. I mean, literally, I could put a picture up and go, look at the new carpet, and somebody would be blasting me within 30 seconds. That carpet's ugly. You know, I mean, there are just a lot of angry people on Twitter. But the world is bad about going on feelings. We do whatever feels right. It feels good, then I do it. That leads to all kind of sexual sin. Because most times sexual sin is going to feel good. It just is. But it's not right. It leads to all kind of problems. Well, I feel like I need a new car, or I feel like I should do this. But when we listen to Jesus, when we listen to the Word of God, we understand that it's facts over feelings all day long. Dad said this for 40 years here. The feelings are the caboose of the train. I'm not telling you you don't have feelings, you don't have emotion, but we never put those above facts. Here's why, and then we'll move on to the next one. When we get on feelings, we're going to doubt our salvation. Why is that? Because we are never good enough to earn God's grace. I'm just telling you right now. If you ever go on feelings, you're never going to feel worthy. I talk to Dad all the time and other preachers. I was like, do you ever just feel not worthy to be up there? Dad said, if you ever feel worthy to be up there, you need to give it up. Because there's so many Sundays I think, I don't want to go up there. I don't need to be up. I don't need to be preaching on this. And I know that, but those are feelings. And see, when we feel things, we're going to doubt our salvation. When we go on feelings, we're not going to want to serve. We're not going to want to minister because I don't feel good. But when we go on facts, we go on that Jesus said, I call my sheep by name. And I'll never lose them. We're like, oh, once we're children, once we're adopted into that family, once we trust in Jesus, we're never not His children. That's an amazing thought. But the devil will affect your feelings if you let him. And see, this is what Thomas had done. Thomas wasn't listening to the words that Jesus had told him. He was listening to all the Romans and all the Jews. He's dead. Oh, it's a conspiracy. He didn't really raise from the dead. His followers just took his body. And all the but see, Thomas listened to the wrong people. But also notice this, Thomas wasn't at the right place. If you read that, it says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. Or should he have been? He should have been with the disciples. Now they weren't perfect. They had the doors locked, but at least they were together meeting. When we look in Acts, the first church, they met regularly to lick their wounds because they were being persecuted. Here's what you need to know. If you're not listening to the right person, which is Jesus, and you're not in the right place, which I'll get to all that, you're going to have doubts. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, here we go. You need to be in church. I'm just telling you, and people tell us this all the time as pastors, oh, I worship at home. No, you don't. I'm just telling you, you don't. I don't know anybody that goes, I worship at home, that's really a Christ follower. Because people, oh, the church just hurt me. I'm sure, and I know every situation is different. Find another church. But if you are a Christ follower, you're going to be among Christ's people. Now, the church is made up of sinners. And I understand churches make bad decisions a lot of times. And they do hurt people. I'm not saying that. But I do believe that Christ, over a period of time, can restore anybody, no matter how bad you've been hurt, from the church or whatever. But we are not meant to do this alone. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you can be a soul Christian, that you can work on your own, do your own ministry, tithe to yourself and do it. That's not scriptural. You see, when you miss church, it's not that you just miss a blessing, you miss an opportunity to bless someone else. And I know what you're thinking. Well, I can get better sermons online. You probably can, all right? But you never know, like 1 out of 10, I preach a good sermon. And so you never know when that good one's going to be, so you need to be here all 10 weeks. I'm just telling you. But it's more than that. It's like this, that when you come to church, somebody may just need a hug. Somebody just may need an encouragement. Somebody may just need you to tell them, hey, you look nice today. How's your week going? But also, somebody may do that to you and say, hey, been thinking about you, been praying about you. And then when you come in here, you're focused on Jesus. Because if you're sitting at home, there's a million different things going on. You see, he wasn't, not only did he listen to the wrong person, but he was at the wrong place. But this goes further than church. This means, who do we hang around? What do we do? That doesn't mean we get rid of friends who don't know Jesus. We, in fact, a lot of our friends ought to be people who don't know Jesus because we ought to be sharing the gospel. But for the most part, we have to be with a body of believers so that we can be encouraged, so that we can then go into the world. But Thomas neglected that. And then there's the last thing. He demanded, actually, a physical sign. If you look, he goes, unless I see it myself, I don't believe it. And that's opposite, really, of what faith is. Gideon said, I got to have a sign. And nowhere did God say, okay, that's a great way of faith. God never says that. We were flying, back from Brownsville. A couple weeks ago, and I told you when we missed our flight, I told you all the story about that, but we went back. Most people deboarded because it was 3 hours. Ended up being like 2.5, 3 hours. Most people deboarded. They were sitting in the terminal. After a little while, Lori texted me, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm talking to the pilot. And she goes, shocking. And I really was. Like, I was as far in there as I could get. If they'd have let me in there, I'd have sat in there with them. But the plane was so small, it was literally about that big. And I had my entire torso in. I was looking around, talking to him, asking him questions. And I thought the guy on my left was the co-pilot. And I said something about it. He goes, no, I'm the pilot. And I looked at him, I'm like, you're the pilot? And he goes, yeah. I was like, are you old enough to be a pilot? I'm getting to that stage where a lot of y'all are. Your doctors are younger than you. And you're like, are you really a doctor? I said, how old are you? He goes, guess. I was trying to be nice and make him look more professional. I'm like, 30. He goes, do I really look 30? I was like, no, you look 19. He goes, I'm 26. I'm like, there's no way you've been out of pilot school long enough to fly if you're 26. He goes, I've really got a pilot license. I was like, can I see it? And he goes, no, you're not going to see my license. He goes, just trust me on this. I mean, we were cutting up and having fun. I really did tell him all that. was like, I'm going to have to say, how many hours have you flown? He goes, you're okay. Would you do? He goes, I'm the one that stopped you from leaving because we was a half a quart low. I was like, well, I guess I trust you then. You know, we do the same thing, though. We're like, well, you tell me you can take care of me, God, but can you really? You tell me that you want my kid, you want to, you know, me give you my kids, but until I see you do a few things, I just don't know that I can let my kids go to you. You tell me that you can bless me financially if I trust in you, but I need to see some signs. And the issue with that is that it just works opposite of the way God works most of the time. There's a couple of verses, guys, if y'all want to throw them up. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that. Without faith, Thomas could have easily said, hey, where's Jesus at? He said he was going to rise. I know he's here. I know he's done it because he said he was going to do it. Wouldn't it be great if we had that mentality? And then Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Think about that. If we're justified in Christ, then we have to live by faith. And the Bible also says that Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham wasn't justified by works. He was justified, and it was credited to him as righteousness for faith. And then we go into Hebrews 11, back to where they were. And you, if you've read the Bible any time, you understand that's called the Hall of Faith. Instead of Hall of Fame, it's called the Hall of Faith. It's not called the Hall of Knowing. It's the Hall of Faith. In other words, these people like Noah and Abraham and all the people that are in the Hall of Faith acted on faith. So many times, we think we've got to have our hands on something before we act. God, I don't know where you want me to go to college, but I pray that the next commercial I see will have like either Ole Miss or Auburn on it, then I'll know. That's not the way God works. And for all you people that are still looking, God, I want to marry somebody Christian. And I know how guys think, but I want somebody, I mean, she's got to be smoking hot. And I mean, it's okay if she's a Christian. I mean, I kind of like that. And she's got to be funny. And she's got to be an Alabama fan and or an Auburn fan. And, you know, she's got to be smart. I want her to have a good job. And I want her to have the same amount of kids I want. And now, God, will the next person that comes up and walks up to me that meets all the, I think that's who I want to marry. That's not how God works. You get a job opportunity and you say, well, God, here's how it is. If they tell me this, then I'll know it's of you. If they tell me we have Krispy Kreme every Friday, that's a God thing, I know. So that means I got to take that job. That's not how God always works. Now, look, we are to pray about everything. The Bible is very clear about that. We are to pray about everything. But we, the Bible just said, you just saw it, we cannot please God without having some faith. It's called taking steps of faith. Just like when you give, I know very few Christians who have started giving as an adult and go, oh, I got saved last week. 10%? That's no big deal. Let's give that right. Very few people do that. They start out giving, but then you give incrementally. You say, I'm going to give every week. And you're like, oh, God's taking care of me. I can give more, and I can give more, and I can give more. That's how that works. It takes faith to take that first step, though. It takes faith to go on that mission trip or whatever it may be. But you see, without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. Now, if Thomas would have just busted in and said, where's Jesus? I know he said it, so it's happened. Let's have church. Jesus wouldn't have had the rebuke, stop doubting and believe. Now, whatever's going on in your life, I don't know what it is. But I imagine some of us are faced with that this morning, that we really just need to stop doubting God and believe that he can do what he says he'll do. For some of you, it may be your salvation. For some of you, it may be financial. For some of you, it may be a relationship that you just need to trust God with. And so the words this morning that that I really want to look at is what he just told to Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. Because we go back to the first of that, what I said. When you doubt, you don't. You don't share your faith. You don't give to the kingdom. You don't participate in the kingdom. So what is it this morning that you're having trouble with releasing to God so that you can be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Would you stand, please? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a moment. Brother Dave's going to come. And I don't know if he's by himself or not, but whatever he's going to do, this is how we do it here. If you're visiting with us at Danville Baptist Church, when Dave starts singing, if you want to sing, by all means, I want you to sing. If that's not for you, if you want to just close your eyes and keep them closed to the end, that's fine. If you want to pray, you pray. The altar will be open in just a moment. In fact, you want to come now, come now. But here's what I want to tell you. For those of you that are here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have to get that right. For many of you, it involves doubt this way, that you doubt Jesus is who he says he is. You doubt that Jesus, a person who you've never seen, can actually save you from going to an eternal hell when you leave this earth. That's why it's faith. You either believe what the Bible says or you don't. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says we all fall short of God's glory. The Bible says that there's only one way to heaven, that's through the grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that if you repent and acknowledge you're a sinner and in need of a Savior, then Jesus will save you. Now, maybe you're struggling with that, but you either believe it or you don't. I believe it. I believed it when I was 12 years old, and I trusted in Jesus. Have I had doubts? Yes, I've had doubts over my life. But then that's where we go back to the other. That's where we put the facts and where Jesus says, if you're one of mine, I'll never, ever lose you. Maybe that's what some of you are struggling with this morning, your salvation. And I say, get in the Word of God. Let Him speak to you. Let Him know. Let Him tell you. Whatever you're struggling with this morning, lay it at the altar and let God have control of it. Brother Dave sings, you be obedient to what God wants you to do.